Good morning. Good to see you guys. Good to be back in home. It's been, almost 5 years since I've been back. And it was good playing golf. Was it baseball or golf we played yesterday? What was it?
Well, it was low score wins.
Okay, I thought it was high score that won. And I know who the winner was, but I won't say who it was. But
where's
my dress? I didn't wear my dress today. I wore my blue jeans today. I usually do wear my dress. But what I want to do, can I go ahead and get the first slide up here, please? First picture? Is it on? Oops, let's see. There we go. Good. I just want to tell you a little bit about what my wife's getting ready to do. She is a blessing to me and a blessing to the ministry. Her father was a minister in the southern part of Mindanao, which is the southern part of the Philippines. So those who are concerned about me marrying a southerner, I did really south. So she's a good southern lady, amen. And she's trying to learn the lingo down here, but pray for her about that. So, but she loves the food, it's good. She ate some crawfish the other day, and after I showed her how to do it, she almost ate the whole plate before I got to it, so it's good. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to say that. But anyway, her father was a minister in the southern part of Mindanao, and he died when she was 8 years old. But prior to her... before he died, she would go with him on church planting outings, and he would put her on his shoulders and take her off and lay her down in the corner and say, "Sing, Rose," and she would sing, and he would preach. And so this morning, we'd like to continue that tradition.
How great thou art.
Oh, Lord, my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds the hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the ruling thunder, thy power throughout the universe display. Then sings my soul, how great thou art, how great thou art. And then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. When through the woods and forest glades I wander, and hear the birds sing sweetly in the trees, when I look down from lofty mountain grandeur and see the brook and feel the gentle breeze. And when I think, oh God, his son at sparing, sent him to die, I scarce can take it in. And on the cross, my burden gladly bearing, he bled and died to take away my sin. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. And then sings my soul, my Savior, Christ shall come with shout and acclamation and lead me home what joy shall fill my heart. Then I shall bow this humble adoration, and there proclaim, my God, how great thou art. Then sings my
makes me cry when she sings that song. It's so good. Just the history, the legacy that her father made. Her, all her brothers are in ministry in some way, pastoring, planting churches. Sisters are involved. So it's just a blessing to see fruit in people's lives.
Amen.
If you did not receive one of these this morning, please pick one up. I think they might be on the back next to the sign-up sheet for our newsletter. Or if you don't want to write and you want to do it the computer way, you can go to Grace Outreach Ministries Asia or GOMAsia.com and you can sign in there and receive a newsletter. So please do that and take one of these with you. But we are from Southeast Asia. We're working there for, I've been there since 2005 off and on. Let me get my computer open here. Excuse me. I've been there since 2005, and then in 2009 I left to go there full time, and ended up doing some work in the Philippines. Then finished up some work in Myanmar, which is old Burma, and then started working in Cambodia. But you'll see from our location here, this is our area, the old Burma, Myanmar area, bypassed Thailand. Haven't done work in Thailand a long time, but Cambodia. I've done some work in Vietnam and the Philippines over to the right. But that's where we work. Just to give you some background, some statistics that you need to know, 2/3 of the world's population live within this corridor of what they call the 1040 window. That 1040 window is 10 degrees above the equator to 40 degrees. If you draw a square, that's 2/3 of the world's population live there. In the Asian part, where it says Buddhist and China and the Philippines, where we work, 1/2 of the world's population live there. And 1/2 of the world's population, within that 1/2, a half of that are people 15 years and younger. So that gives you an idea what we're up against. So we've targeted a lot of youth, a lot of high school people, college students, younger crowd, reaching them because that's the biggest demographic that we have. So we hit those people, and those people are more likely to come to know the Lord than the older, but yet we are seeing the young are now going out through their families and through their neighborhoods and winning others to the Lord and actually planting churches. But let's look at the statistics here. 82% of the poorest people live in this area. 84% of the people with the lowest quality of life, life expectancy, infant mortality, and illiteracy. It's the hub of the world's most major non-Christian religions, such as Islam and Buddhism and Hinduism. But I'd like to give you a good report of what's happened in the last few years in Cambodia. Usually, when we look at the birth rate of each country, and you know, without a lot of birth control in these countries, birth rates grow dramatically, very fast. However, in Cambodia, for the last few years, we're now as reaching people for the Lord. The born again population is now surpassed and growing faster than the birth population.
Amen. Wow. Amen.
So something's happening in Asia. Something's happening there. It's because of your prayer, because of us going as well, and many other people we're working with. So it's a fantastic thing to know that. Lease access to Christian resources, Bibles and books and so forth. I've told you before when I was here, we've smuggled in so many things into Myanmar and also in other parts of Southeast Asia. We've actually had to go in by taping money around in baggy bags, actually, around our belt and up through this area here. So I guess you'd call it first dirty money going into Southeast Asia. So then later we laundered it. So it went into Asia. We went to buy books, went to print things, went to buy clothes, buy food, plant churches. And believe it or not, if you're sitting here today saying, I have been so bad in my life, so bad in my past, I cannot be used by God.
Wrong.
Now, I did some crazy things as a teenager. I learned how to make deals under the table. You know, pass money, pass something else. You know? Guess what? All good things work together for good for those who love the Lord. That trade, that skill has been used successfully throughout Southeast Asia. Hey, pop some money in the pocket or stopping five or whatever and passing on without anyone knowing about these things, but also able to bring them into the country. So we have passed out Bibles, printed up materials as well, and helped thousands and thousands of people come to the Lord.
Amen.
And we've seen six churches planted, I believe I reported that to you last time, in Myanmar alone. And now we're on our third church plant in Cambodia. So it's really good. But here's something we all need to understand. Now, remember I said two-thirds of the world's population live in within this corridor. Half of the world's population live in the Asia area where we work. 1% of all mission giving from churches go to this area. Only 1%. That means 99% go outside to the one-third somewhere. So we need to pray that God will send more people in and that we will be able to train more people so that what little bit of money comes into this area to help train people, to print up materials for travel, whatever the expense might be, that we'll be able to use it for the Lord. So here's where we are. But here's our basis for our ministry. You, therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that you have heard from me and among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Notice the first part of the verse. Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. I can do nothing whatsoever. You can do nothing whatsoever outside of the strength of Christ himself.
Amen.
It's his grace, his power. And then we go in and we win people. We commit our lives to discipleship and training them into be ministers. And it's, in all reality, it's easier to reach a people group if you use their people.
Amen.
Okay? Big, tall, white guy wearing a dress sticks out.
Yeah.
Okay? Even if in New Orleans or San Francisco, it's the hair, I think it is, not the dress, right?
Right.
Okay. But we have to be strong in Christ and commit to those faithful men. That word men there Let me just explain quickly what that means. It doesn't mean male.
Amen.
That word man, men, there is translated as anthropos in the Greek, which is male and female.
Mankind.
Okay, mankind. It's not anar, it's not gune. Gune being woman and anar being man. It's not that. It's talking about training them. Women are to be reaching people just as men are reaching people. We are to be training women and teaching women as well as training men. So we have done that, and we've seen God do some great things. We also need to remember what God says to us in James: pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the orphans and the widows in their affliction and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. Plain and simple, love God, love others, hate the world. Amen. That's all it's saying. So, but there are orphans and abandoned people all over the world. In right here in Louisiana, I'm sure there's abused and abandoned people. In Asia, they're everywhere. 1.5 million orphans alone plus are on the streets of Philippines. Probably over 2 or 3 more million are in Asia. And it's very sad to see oppressed people and children living on the streets and people begging. And of course, you know, some people are there because it's their choice. But some people are not there because their choice. They're there because of oppression. Read Ecclesiastes chapter 4. Talks about God knows the oppressed. God knows the oppressor. And God will deal with it. And so that's what we deal with. Honor God by encouraging the oppressed and giving hope to the abandoned. By training future church leaders. And by providing scholarships for schools. Those who are in need. And by empowering new believers to volunteer in the ministries of their local church. I believe one thing that the American Christian, at least from my perspective, being a pastor for since about 1983, and most of it, at least up to about 2005 in the United States, that we have got this mentality. We have to wait until someone gets to a certain education level before they can be used. Do you know what? We use people and have used people in the past. Let's say, for example, Sam gets saved. I know he is. Let's just pretend he's not. Okay, pretend. Okay, Sam gets saved. Okay, he's 1 month old. Okay, then Jeff gets saved. Finally. Okay, so Jeff gets saved. He's 1 month old. We've already taught him how to study the Word of God, how to pray, how to just totally trust what God's Word says, and to be accountable. And guess what? He's 1 month older than him, so he can actually teach this man immediately a foundation of how to pray, how to read the Word of God, how to be accountable, how to disciple, how to go out and reach others. Amen. He might not know any more than that, but he could teach that younger person. Then we go back and we teach this person again. Then he goes back. So it's a multi-tiered discipleship process. And we empower people to do the work. We don't wait till they get degrees. Thank God for degrees. Yeah. You know, I've got a degree, and I paid a lot for it. It's okay. It's good. I learned a lot of things. But I've seen people without degrees that could preach circles around me, teach circles around me, and because they have been plugged in to Christ. Okay? So that's what we've been doing. But first of all, training pastors. We trained pastors in Myanmar for many years. We're also doing that in Cambodia. Now, let me just tell you just quickly what happened in one of our situations here in Myanmar, Burma. We were having a graduation service. The pastors had been arrested, you know, a few months before that. And they were forced to sign some papers stating that they would no longer meet together to worship, to preach the word, and so forth. I said, what did you do, guys? They said, well, we signed it. I said, okay, we signed it. Well, what did you do after that? Well, the way it was worded, I could not meet with that group, but he could meet with that group. And so I could meet with this group, so I met with that group, and they broke up the church and met all over the town in small groups. And then they had this great graduation, fantastic graduation. We had guards out the windows. We had people looking around to make sure we weren't getting arrested that day. Because it's illegal to preach Christ publicly in some of these areas. And so, we're watching, making sure we're getting arrested. Had people graduate that day. Over 200 and some odd people came to our graduation service that day. And so we just praise God for that. And then I met up with Rose. She flew into Yangon, and I did not want her to go with me into the outer areas where I went and did a lot of ministry. It was a little dangerous. So she flew into Yangon, and through the glass when she came down the stairs, she saw me standing there in my dress, Sam. For the first time, she saw her husband in a dress.
Amen.
She goes, "What did I marry?"
Thank you.
Yeah, I know. But anyway, we went from there, went back to our hotel, prepared to go to a church service, the first church service that has been performed since the arrest. And we were up on the seventh floor, locked behind the windows. The doors were locked, people watching in the stairway, people watching downstairs to make sure we wouldn't get busted. And they were singing so loud and so happy that people seven floors down, and there was a overpass, a lot of cars, you could actually hear on the sidewalk through all the noise that was downstairs.
Amen.
So Rose looked at me, she says, "What are we going to do?" I said, "We're going to get arrested today? Well, jail ministry." You know, I jokingly said this to other people, I would never say this to my wife. See, with me, all I need to do is outrun the slowest person. Say, I get away. But I would not do that to her. I'd have to pick her up and carry her like a football and run. But yeah, we train pastors. And these guys go out into the highways and byways. And they cross borders. And they do things under the nose of the government. And teaching others about Christ. Sharing them. Sharing what they know. See, they don't know everything. Jeff, do you know everything yet?
No.
I don't either. But we share what we know.
Amen.
No matter what maturity level you're in, you share what you know to others. That's discipleship. The word disciple means a learner. So that's what we do. And while we're there in Asia, we were setting up orphanages, setting up schools. We set up two colleges in Myanmar or old Burma, as well as orphanages. But the orphanage started getting red flags from the government. So we found it easier in that we start training pastors and training churches to absorb these kids into the church, into the family. And love them and care for them as their own. So the red flags come down. The government did not know where all the churches were. So now they don't know where the orphanages are. So by planting one orphanage and one church, yeah, we have a good outreach. But when you train five pastors with the same heart, you got five more people out there reaching more kids on the street. You got five more people discipling others. We got five more churches doing the work of God.
Amen.
So see, it's a better bang for the buck, so to speak.
Amen.
Hates to sound like business, but that's what it is.
Yeah.
It's a better use of our time of training. So that's what we've been doing, is training pastors a good bit. And these guys will put their lives on the line. And people ask me, "Why don't you come back to the States and do this?" As needed, but God's given me a heart for Asia. Be honest with you, if God would supply all our needs right now, at this moment, I'd be on a plane this afternoon to go home. Home is not here. Home is not in the States. God bless America, but home is not here.
Yeah.
My home's in heaven.
Amen.
And my workplace is in Asia.
Amen.
So that's what we want. But these guys will be willing to go out and put their life on the line at any moment, at any time. And so here in Cambodia, we set up a leadership institute in Cambodia with the church we're working with. I'm able to teach. This is one of my translators. I call them interrupters because I have to say something, I have to stop because she has to interrupt me and say something else. And so we're working together. But through this process, at this very moment, this church is doing two services. One in English, for those who want to listen to a service in English, and one in Khmer, which is the language of the Cambodian. And guess who is doing the preaching? Those that we have trained to do the preaching. Guess who's doing the leadership of the music? Those that we have trained to be in music. Guess who is doing the after church discipleship? Those who have been trained. But wait a second, they don't have degrees.
Amen.
But they know the Lord, and they know
at least a certain level of how they should walk, how they should teach, and they're teaching what they know. And we keep progressing. Amen. In our learning.
So that's what they're doing. So it's fun. It's really fun to teach these people. Again, when you have a few hundred people in a room, and you're teaching them, or when I'm teaching them, and they're listening, knowing that at any moment they could be in trouble. It's a blessing to know that they're committed that much.
Amen.
Now in Cambodia, it's a little bit different now. We no longer have to hide out like we did many years ago. But here's the rule. If we open up the church building for a seminar of any type, we have to agree that we will not mention God. We cannot use the Bible. Cannot say anything bad about Buddha, or the leadership and the government of Cambodia, or the king. Can't do that. So what do? How do you witness these people? Well, we had a seminar called the Entrepreneurial Seminar. I started businesses. I've been in business off and on throughout my life. So we brought these people in. And I got up with some other people, and my part was to talk about starting businesses and ethics in business and so forth. I started quoting some, good presidents. I quoted some good people like Bill Gates and Steve Jobs. And then I said, you know what? There is someone that knows business better than all these people. There's this king that was in Israel many, many, many years ago.
Amen.
Named King Solomon. I didn't mention Proverbs. I didn't mention the Bible. And I started paraphrasing the business principles out of Proverbs. You know why? The word will not come back void.
Amen.
And by doing that, we were able then to connect with the people. They were able to contact us and were able then to speak Christ to them, because that is the process in Cambodia. You cannot go on the street. You cannot head out track. You can't say, hey, Jesus loves you. Because in any moment they could arrest you and shut you down. And so that's how we do evangelism. And then we have free English classes to our college students. And these free English classes are exactly that, free. They come and they learn English. Well, while they're learning English, guess what they hear? Things about the Word of God.
Amen.
And they come to know the Lord. They get saved. So it's fun teaching people like that. This is my other interrupter. And this is my church dress. So I'm dressed almost the same. This is the way I dress when I teach in Cambodia. And this was a series we called Radical, Getting Radical for God. And my interrupter were there. We were having a good time with the people. But it's exciting to be with people that love the Lord. This is our graduation class. Our first graduation class in Cambodia. You notice the mixed crowd. There's women. There's men. Some of these men are going out to be pastors. Going out to be discipleship leaders. These women are going out to do discipleship ministry, winning others to the Christ, teaching different types of work within the church. They're working with the group as a whole. And it's a blessing to be with those people and a blessing to be a part of that. We'll be traveling back to Cambodia off and on to teach in the institute. But right at this moment, our focus is to go into the Philippines and train more Filipinos to go into Asia to do the work. The work of evangelizing, church planting, widows, orphans. So that's the focus that we have at the moment. So before, it's all focused on orphans in one church. You know what? That worked for a while, but it gets expensive. But when you empower people and train people, 4, 5, 6, 10, 15, 20 people, and let them loose to go do God's work, more things are done, more kids are saved, more things happen. So these are some of our disciples that are now working full-time in our Cambodian church. The guy here in the blue shirt, that's our chiclet salesman.
Uh-huh.
He's, everybody know chiclets are, right?
Yes.
Yeah. He's our chiclet salesman. He was one on the streets of Cambodia selling chiclets. And they brought him into the campus and taught him English, and he got saved. He was growing so fast, we sent him to Manila for 6 months to a school to learn about missions, to learn about the Word, to get a good foundation of the Word of God. A fast track church paid for it, sent him back. He stayed there for 6 months, graduated, came back. It's full staff.
Amen.
He's preaching now in the Khmer staff. This, my other interrupter here, in the glasses, is also preaching. And there's a church going, a Khmer church going in on the other side of town. And probably the next few months, they've been working on it for the last 6 months, laying the foundation, doing prayer walks and engaging people and gathering people up and doing the work there. So it's almost ready to come together as a corporate worship. One of those two guys are going to be pastoring it.
Amen.
Right there. That's the fruit of not my labor, but your labor and the people we work with, our labor together has done that.
Amen.
Through the power of God. It's not by my power, but by His power. So it's fun to work with people. And Puti and Tim both have also been to Philippines for a 6 month training. And then we put them on staff and pay them on staff to be a part of the leadership. Now, giving hope to the abandoned, it's sad. Rose knows that every time I see a child on the street, I want to pick them up. Okay, how many people here like animals? Anybody like animals? When you see a stray animal, what do you want to do? Pick it up and feed it and take it in, right? No, no. Some of you know. But most people, you know, if you're a lover of animals, it's not bad not to want to feed them.
I'm just not going to
bring them in. But you know, that's your heart tug. Oh, poor thing. Can we find a home for this animal? Can we feed them? Imagine human beings. A year, 2 years old, 3 years old, my child's age, living on the street, being drugged up and used sexually, being abused in ways where they drug up these kids, they hold them, and they go out and they beg for money at the intersections. The kids are never crying. You know why? Because they're drunk or drugged up. They're using them. And all we need to do is teach the church to reach out and grab these kids and bring them in and love them and care for them. Now, as we speak right now, money was donated to the ministry we're working with in Cambodia. They're starting a school for the poorest of the poor. And they're bringing them into the church right now and starting to teach them. So I praise God for that.
Amen.
So little by little, these little innocent faces, can you imagine seeing these on the auction block being auctioned off as sex slaves or house workers or being abused in any way? I can't imagine that. It hurts me. And these kids here, this is just a small portion of some kids in the North Cemetery, and I've shared this with you, that live among the graves. They live in the grave tombs. You know how the tombs are in New Orleans? They have tombs like that in Manila. And they live in the tombs. And men drive through there and pick up these kids. Some are sold. Some are abused. But they're abandoned. And so working with the River of Life Church in Manila, able to go in and feed, care, and also do some special, have special blessings for them. Prizes and games and so forth. We can't do it all. But we help in what we can and bring them into the church. And some of the kids have come out of this environment, came out, were discipled, ready to start churches. They chose to go back into the graveyard to live among these people so they can minister to them. That's amazing. I don't want to go live in a graveyard. You know, I'm not scared of ghosts most of the times. But, you know, it does kind of give me the willies. You know, at nighttime when the fog comes in, you hear crazy sounds.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But anyway, these kids, we provide scholarships for kids and that are the poorest of the poor. This is one of the girls that started out in an orphanage. I believe you got one of Steve Deal's orphanage, and somebody that I wanted to adopt, but I couldn't do it for various reasons I won't go into. But I started supporting her because she needed support for living. Rose happened to be working there at the time. And the girl called her mom and called me dad because I was the one that was given the money. Okay. Daddy always has the money for some reason. Girls know where to go get the money. Okay. Well, I asked her a while back. I said, Lolit, what do you think about being in the orphanage and not knowing your parents and not knowing your relatives? She says, you know, if I hadn't been lost or abandoned, I would not have been found and brought into the orphanage. If I wasn't in the orphanage, I would not have an education. If I didn't have an education and around people who loved me, I would not have known Jesus. And I would not have a college education. And she would not be a missionary today working with us in Cambodia.
Amen.
That is a success story. That is a success story. And she is just a blessing. She is just a blessing. And she's now working and living with some missionary ladies that they were working with in Cambodia. I won't say much more than that. Vutni. It looks like Vushini. Sounds almost Russian, but she is Khmer. Let me tell you her story real quick. She is a product of an unwed mom and dad. Dad, of course, you know, fell in love with a lady. You know, things happen. Pregnancy happened. Parents in that area choose their husbands and they choose wife. They've got a lot of arranged marriages. The dad of her mother said, no way, you're not marrying this guy. So the guy just left and she has no contact with her dad. So she grew up with her mother with a stigma of, you know, her mother not having a husband. And what happened was they become very poor, barely making it. To say that they're dirt poor would be an insult because dirt has more minerals and value for finances than what they had. They had nothing. But yet she came to know Christ in high school. And through high school, through the ministries in Cambodia, people were discipling her and loving on her and encouraging her. She's in her third year of college right now. And Grace Outreach Ministries and Rose and I have been supporting her through the gifts from different churches and coming through our ministry to help her get through college.
Amen.
And we left 6 months of college tuition with the church to give to her each month. And we're just by faith trusting that she'll get through the next year. And I believe God's going to do that. God doesn't leave us and abandon us.
Amen.
So I really believe she's going to go. But she's already working in the church. She's already making disciples. She's already leading groups. She's already doing great things for God.
Amen.
That's good. And then she calls me dad. Which, I don't know if that's manipulation. I don't know. I don't mind it. I really don't. I have these kids, these girls, and these guys that we supported over the years. These are my two ones I love to death. Matter of fact, Lolit said this. I'll tell you a quick story about what she said. It's kind of embarrassing. She had always called Rose mom, always called me dad. We got married in 2010-ish, somewhere around July 14, 2010. And she posts and some things that, you know, people read online. She says, oh, it's so good that my mom and dad are finally married. Sweetheart, don't say, be sure to put the context there before you make a comment like that. It's like we've been living in sin up to this point. Finally, we got married, you know. So, no. But mom and dad. But she is now living with us. And what's interesting is to see how far she has grown. When we chose to leave a little early from Cambodia to come back here and raise funds and go back into Asia, she crumbled on the floor when we told her that night we're leaving and cried. Said, I haven't had a family in so long. And now I'm here with you for 6 months. and my family's gone. I'm abandoned. I'm all by myself again. And so I told her, I said, listen, I'm always your daddy. Rose is always your mama. This is your house. Wherever we live, you have a place. We're not abandoning you. We're connecting with you. You're our child. She's 23 years old. Going on 24. You know what? That helped her. She's now adjusted to that and working, knowing that God's hand is in this. And she's not losing mom and dad. Amen. She's not losing her household. Because see, if I did her that way, how dare I treat? I teach pastors to take in the orphans, to take in those that they can, Amen. And bring them into the church. Live what you speak.
Yes.
And so that's what we're trying to do. Live what we speak. Live what we teach. And so that's Whitney. Pray for her. She's a sweetheart. You hardly ever see her anything shorter, not much shorter than that. She has been in an accident where she's lost her muscle here in her leg when she was young. I don't know what happened. Her mother's missing fingers. I don't know if they were in an accident together, but she's got a really bad scar. Well, she came to her house one time and she was doing something. So, wait a second, let me see that. She showed me her scar, and she said, I'm just embarrassed to, people see that part of my body, not because of modesty, but because of the damage that was done. So, but she's loving the Lord in spite of being injured, in spite of all the things that's went through her life. And the blessing is, before we left, her mother came to church. Did not get saved, but came, not knowing one word of English, hugged her, hugged me, and said, thank you. Oakland, thank you for taking care of her daughter. So, it's a blessing to see things like that happen. We have many projects coming up in the Philippines as well as in Cambodia. The projects are, we had to sell everything in Cambodia. Now we have to buy everything again in Philippines. So we're about 80% to the amount that we need for a car. We're about maybe halfway to a motorcycle that I need. I need a different motorcycle instead of one of those sissy motorcycles with the baskets on it, and drive like this. And Cambodia's flat, like here. I've got to have one that goes up and down the hills, a little dirt bikes, a little more expensive. But we're looking to buy that, so we're looking to raise funds there, plus our monthly support. Because, see, while we're in Cambodia, Rose and I also supplemented our income working with an international school. I was the pastoral care for 450 people, as well as trying to minister to people and to teach in the church and to help with the church plants and all the things that we did. Well, that income is gone. We're not getting that back. So that's the reason why we're asking people to pray about what they could do for us on a monthly basis or a yearly basis, or if you've got millions in the bank, you want to give some of it away, give it to Jeff first. He'll take his cut. No, sorry. He'll make sure it gets to us. Okay, so do that. So just pray for us. Two people, three people praying, guess what? Moves to thousands.
Amen.
Make the demons run.
Amen.
And so just be a blessing to us. Well, we go ahead. I want you to watch this video. It's 4 minutes. I'm going to turn this up. Is that correct, Jeff? One notch? Okay. Go ahead and start the video. We have added to the video, so enjoy it, and we'll have time in a moment. We can question and answers. If not, we'll talk to you after our services.
I can see in their eyes empty people filled with care, headed who knows where. On they go through private pain, living fear to fear. all the grief they bear. They must hear the words of life. Only we can change. People need the Lord. People need the Lord. At the end of broken dreams, He's the open door.
Each and every one of you listening and hearing. I have to talk fast to get through all this with the time, but I think you understand the heart of what we're doing. It's real. And God is doing great things. I'm having the time of my life. People say, are you crazy? Well, you guys know me. And the answer is yes. And so, but that's okay. Without a doubt. When God calls, the safest place to be, it's the midst of His will, the Amen. Center of His will. Amen. So if like Jeff's will is to be right here, or God's will for Jeff should be right here, and my will is to, or God's will for me is to be where I'm at. And that's why I'm homesick right now. I want to go home quickly. I can't wait until July when I can get on the plane and go home and get back to work doing what God has called me to do. And just pray for us as we reach more. We're starting schools. We're starting discipleship processes. We're reaching into, there's a lot of small churches in the Philippines. One of the branch ministries we'll be doing is we're taking some of these pastors that are working 12, 14 hours a day at work, then trying to pastor a church. And I'm asking them to give me one or two of their people. Let me train them in the process that we've used in Burma that's successful, and we've used in Cambodia that's very successful, and send them back in. Since I am not pastoring a church, they're not intimidated. So they're able to send to our ministry center, which we're building, and hopefully in the next 6 months or 8 months or so. And so they can come and they can be trained, go into their church to train others. 2 Timothy 2:2. Find men, find women that are on fire, want them to learn, teach them. Amen. Teach them. And guess what? You're going to make mistakes. I'll make mistakes. Jeff's going to make mistakes. Rose is the only one that's perfect. She's the only one perfect. So, but yes, she makes mistakes, too. We all make mistakes. We all learn from our mistakes. But we can't do it without God's grace, His power through us. So that's what we're doing. God bless you, Jeff. I called the time. I'll just stop. And if you want to talk to me afterwards, I'll be out here. Be sure to pick up a card. Be sure to sign up for our newsletter. And if you want to do it online, if you get to do it out here, do it online. Just go to gomasia.com, go to contacts, sign in, and follow the instructions from there. Okay? And pray for us. And send me emails. Ask any question you want. There's no question that I will not answer. Whatever it is, it's on the table. Ask it. it's I'm willing to fill that question. So, Jeff, thank you for letting us go.
Thank you, bro. Thank you. Well, you got the lowdown, the general idea of what's going on, and knowing Alan, he's open for anything. So if you value, I'm a big, I mean, being a missionary kid myself, I realize that there's the situation in Asia is the same as it is here. There's unlimited need with very limited resources. So you have to be very particular of where you send your money. But you see what's going on here, and just like you said, the biggest bang for your missionary buck is going to go to the places that are doing the work. And the idea of training people to do the work is always been, I believe, the best way to go, because that's the way my parents did it when they were in the Philippines. They were there to train the people to go out and start the churches. And so we've seen success from that end, and we're seeing success from this end. So if you have a desire to support what Alan is doing, you can support him directly. You can go to their website, and you can find out how that works. If you want to support him through your offerings, we can do that as well. But God calls every believer to go. And some he specifically calls to go, others he specifically calls to help send. And so if you're haven't really got the call to go to the Philippines, well, maybe your call is to help send others who are willing to go. And so if that's the case, then make sure that you pursue that as the Lord directs you. Let's stand, and we will be dismissed. Amen. And dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you for your heart and the love that has been expressed today. And Lord, we look at these pictures and we see the need. And Lord, we recognize that there is a need everywhere, but we cannot do everything. But you have given us the ability to do something. And Lord, when each one of your people does something, then everything will get accomplished through your word. And so, Lord, I pray that you would impress on your hearts, on the hearts of your people, Lord, exactly what you would have us to do, and help us to pursue it with faithfulness and commitment, Lord, recognizing that it may simply be prayer, but it's prayer that moves mountains. It may simply be a few dollars, but it's a few dollars that goes a long way into giving these little children hope, and giving them life, and giving them the knowledge of Jesus Christ, which is the most precious thing that they could ever have. And so, Lord, I ask that you would guide us. Lord, help us to help it to not be an emotional thing, but help it to be a commitment and love and trust in you. And Lord, we just thank you for bringing us together today. We ask that you bless Alan and Rose and little Alyssa Rose as they continue to go from church to church and present their work. We pray that you give them safety, but most of all, Lord, provide for their every need. And we know that you will, and we thank you for it. And thank you for bringing us together today. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen.